Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Checking in again from the... What are you laughing at?
I just saw a headline on the internet, like, because I was going to the page, and it just... It's funny. It's just funny. I'm excited because it's my industry. So.
Is it something that we're talking about?
I didn't get to check. I was on my way there, and that popped up. So I don't know. It's about Trump and insurance.
Oh yeah, we're not talking about it.
His policies are under scrutiny right now. Aon Insurance, which is like one of the largest insurers in the world, is looking over his insurance documents, and that's a federal crime to lie on those documents.
Sure.
And undervalue things, and they have 3 years that they can request any and all documents pertaining to your business, and you sign that when you. So, that's not good.
Oh,
the
oh,
3 years.
He fucked with the wrong people.
No. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like that's like insurance. You don't. Who's like you don't like the tax man or the insurance guy? Like man, like.
Well, I think he might have. I think he might have done both.
What?
Yeah. So anyhow, that's because what happens then is they turn that information over to the IRS.
Sure. Which he runs. So, I mean, technically.
Oh, so I guess that's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll
be cool. It'll work out.
Yeah.
You know what? I have a feeling that in the end, it'll all work out for the guy.
Sure.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
Yep. Everything will be great. All right, back again from the Nate Darling Show studios in the heart of Broderick in West Sacramento.
West Sacramento.
West Sacramento. West.
West Sac.
That may be changing soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Not ready to talk about it yet. Next week.
Oh, wow.
Next week, there will be a big announcement regarding this podcast and podcasting in general in the Sacramento area.
Wow.
It will be very exciting. Trust me.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. All coming up.
I'm excited.
Yeah. It's going to be big time. Big, big time. Now, last week, I said I got a professional thing or a podcast thing. Maybe we talk about it? No. I have a personal thing that I can talk about, but only just a little. And I'll explain why. So here is the big personal announcement, and you will not see this on social media. Leslie and I are fostering a baby.
Wow.
We got placement last week.
A real baby.
A real live screaming, pooping baby. Now, to be fair, the baby has been pretty good. Pretty good. We generally only hear, when hungry or dirty or gassy. Those are the three times when there's really any complaints at all. There's nothing else other than that. And not really that difficult. I was shocked. Although if you would have asked me at 3:15 this morning, I might have given you a different answer. It's been an adventure because until this baby was placed with us, I had precisely 0 minutes of taking care of a baby of any kind. I mean, other than animals. I had never changed a diaper. I had never given a baby a bottle or anything of that nature. That had not happened until this child was placed with us. So fingers crossed. We are hopefully fostering to adopt. That is the plan, but there are a lot of things that go into that that have nothing to do with us. They have to do more with the birth parents than the foster parents. In that situation. So the reason why we're keeping it vague and you won't hear anything on social media is because in the state of California and hopefully other states too, foster kids have rights to privacy. no matter how young or old they might be. So if you have a friend who ended up adopting a foster kid, you might have seen them posting really vague things on Facebook for quite some time.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is going on? That was what was going on. Leslie and I have made the decision, for a variety of reasons, that we're going to maintain social media silence in terms of that. So, anybody we've shared photos of the child with, we've already told, hey, these can't be shared on social media. They're for your eyes, and that's pretty much it. And that's the way we're going to keep it. And hopefully things go. It's really weird though, because you want to say if things go well and if things turn out the way we hope. Well, the flip side of that is if things turn out the way we hope, the birth parents have failed to the point where their parental rights are terminated. And that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
When you stop and think about it. So it's what we're kind of, and it sucks to be that way, to be like hoping for that to happen. But we are, because we've accepted this child into our home. And of course we're building a bond.
Yeah.
And if we have to give the child up because the birth parents have done all of these whatever their mandated things might be, because if a child is taken away, there are then a whole bunch of mandated things that the family or the parents have to do in order to be deemed suitable to take care of that child again. If that day comes, then you just have to look at it and go, look, they did everything that they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they've done the work, and you just have to hope that they are in a place where they're going to take care of that child in the way that is appropriate. So, that's really all you're going to hear about that. And you won't hear anything else about it on the show other than possibly me being tired. maybe a weird story here or there, but they're all going to be really vague. You might have noticed I did not mention the age of the child other than baby. I did not mention the gender or sex of the child, whichever term you prefer. I did not mention the county that we adopted the child in. And there's a reason for all of that. And that is going to stay private. Because of the child's privacy rights and an abundance of caution on our part to just go above and beyond in terms of how we're going to protect the privacy of the situation. So just a note, if you see any friends, and I said this before, but if you see any friends doing this where they're really, because that happened with our friend Larry, mm-hmm. who used to be one of the co-hosts of the show, and I think it might have been you, Kareem, that sent me a note and goes, what the hell's going on with Larry?
Yeah.
And I had kind of figured that it was something like that because I had talked to him about certain things, but that's what it was. They were fostering a child they've now adopted, their son. And during that time, there would be photos and they would just take like a photo of the back of his head. So you'd see like a corner of the back of his head. And that was it. There were never any pictures of his face or anything like that. And that's why.
Yeah.
To protect that privacy, because he had that right to privacy. Their situation in terms of birth parents was very different than ours is. And when you're talking about foster kids, that is going to be different all the time. So there is no single answer in terms of, you know, well, how did this happen? How did this happen? There are as many stories as there are kids.
Yeah.
And there are a ton of kids. And it was kind of a surprise and a shock for us because we are just at the end of the certification process. Like we were still, our caseworker was still finishing the paperwork when she called and said, hey, would you be interested in taking this child? And I said, how long do we have to decide? And she said, well, ideally today.
Yeah.
When you're talking about a baby, it is normally that quick. That's how much time you have to decide. And Larry and his husband Adam had that happen with them. They had, I believe, two or three different instances where someone called and said, we have a baby. One was in like in Fresno or something. And you have to make that decision. Do we want to foster this child? When you get older children, there will be like meetings. They'll have what they call them dates and different things. Like, have you seen the movie Instant Family? You'll see a little bit of that. Mm. And they've got like fairs and other things like that where you get to meet the kids out at the park. It's kind of, I was kind of dreading that a little bit because how do you tell? So let's say you go, oh, that kid looks cute. Let's spend a little time with that kid. And maybe you go on an outing and then you're like, you know, this just isn't going to work. I mean, how do you break it? Let's say it's a 4-year-old.
Hey, no strings attached, bro.
Yeah. It's NSA. Like, oh, hey, little Timmy. Yeah, you're great. This just isn't going to work.
It's just not going to work. Listen, yeah, you're a nice kid.
It's not you. It's us.
And he's just like, I mean, listen, your freckles are cute. Don't get me wrong, but I mean,
how do you,
you're a jerk.
How do you not feel like a bit of a heel if you have to do that? Now, and if you do that, it's honestly the best thing because you're making the best decision for your family and how this person's going to fit into it. And some people have biological kids that, and they look to foster in addition to that. Some people don't have kids. So it's a crazy sort of situation. Until you delve into it, it's really easy to know nothing about it.
Yeah.
You just hear about foster kids and orphans and whatever. And you're like, okay. And you've made some picture in your mind of what that looks like. And it's probably nothing like what you're picturing in your mind. Although the movie Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg is apparently very accurate. So, we went to see that in the theater because we were in the process of getting everything squared away. So, yeah, that's the big personal announcement. There is a third person here now in the home.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Congratulations and condolences to ever having enough sleep.
Okay. Now, before we move on, I want to put a pin in a balloon of something, that I hear talked about, and I've always hated the term.
Yeah.
The term mama brain.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because all that is sleep deprivation.
Yeah. It is.
You don't get your own special name. Oh, I'm a mom. I read it on a mom blog. She came up with this term. It's called mama brain. No, you're just sleep deprived.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And yeah. Jason, with another one on the way, is going to have those moments where he is in a cloud because he is sleep deprived.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm still...
He has them now.
I'm doubling down, bro.
Right?
It's like being high without being stoned so much. You know what I mean? Like, you're just always in this haze.
Yeah. So, no, stop calling it that.
Yeah.
You're sleep deprived.
Sleep deprivation.
And by the way, that's a big thing, too. You're going through a lot to take care of another human being.
Yeah.
I'm not diminishing it. Just stop giving it another name. Because you know who else is sleep deprived? The dude you're with, most likely.
Yeah.
Unless he's an a-hole.
Well, there's a lot of those, though.
That's true.
There's a lot.
It's true. All right, let's move on. So that's my part of big news for the week. Kareem, you had a big week as well.
That's right. So Sunday, we went to, we are King season ticket holders, at least a fourth of King season.
Sure. You went in with a group. And
so we went in a group to hold. Sunday was their renew or upgrade event. So, so we went, to upgrade our tickets, and we were like, oh, we're going to upgrade, but we're not going to spend too much more money.
Right.
So we moved up two rows into the side.
Okay.
To an end closer to the center. So we upgraded by like $5 a ticket.
Okay. Per game?
Per game.
Yeah. That's not a small amount.
Yeah.
That's $10 a game times 40. That's an extra $400.
Yeah. And so we did that. But if you upgrade your tickets, you get an opportunity to shoot from half court. And if you make the shot from half court, they give you one of your seats for free.
Oh, okay. And what happened?
And so, you know, your boy hit a shot from half court.
Come on now.
Nothing but the bottom of the net. Touch the rim. Steph Curry would have been proud.
Well, congratulations.
Come on now.
Bam.
Yes. It was amazing. It took me a minute to realize that I actually hit it.
Well, you sent me that, and I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, I was like, is that
because the video was was kind of oddly grainy.
It's a weird. If you go from Android to iPhone or vice versa, when you try to forward the video from one to the other,
okay,
it comes out like that.
Hmm.
So the guy. So when we went, it was me and my girlfriend, and then it was her uncle's friends, the couple, the older couple. It was us. The four of us went the upgraded tickets, and then I went to shoot.
Okay.
So he videotaped it. My girlfriend videotaped it, but she only got the shot going in and me celebrating. She missed the whole lineup thing. But the other guy, he got the whole thing. So it was great. It was so funny because I haven't shot a basketball in, say about 7 or 8 years.
That's some amazing luck and skill.
No, you laugh because you think it was all luck. No, it was partly skill.
Yeah, there's some skill involved. But there's also some luck involved.
I used to practice the shot when I used to play basketball regularly.
Right.
So I know that when I take the shot, I have to take it from a step over to the right because of the extra effort that it takes to shoot the shot. The ball always goes to the left a little bit. So I know that part. And then that morning I went out and was practicing distance. So I was just kind of shooting the basketball up at a limb in a tree to make sure I could get the distance, be able to judge the distance right.
Right.
And so, you know, you step out on the court. It was like, okay, I know I got to step over here and then I don't want to shoot an air ball. So actually I was trying to get it to the rim one or overshoot it so I could hit the backboard and it would go in.
Right.
And it's hit nothing but the bottom of the nets.
Did anybody else hit the shot?
Not before I got there and not as far as I know.
All right. So there you go. Yeah. Now, of course, they don't give you the opportunity to upgrade after. You have to buy your seat and then they're like, cause you can't go, all right, we get one for free. We'll take those at center court.
Well, they did say you could upgrade again after that.
Oh,
it was like, oh, well, you can upgrade again, but we were like, well, fuck, well, we do that then. Next season, we'll be back to where we were.
Right.
We'll have to downgrade again because, you know, if we took that extra money for the extra seat, then, yeah, we could have got some really good seats, but then the next season, we would be back.
Or you could put that money into a fund and upgrade next year.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm going to text somebody that right now.
Yeah, think about that.
Come on now.
Put it in a short-term investment account. Yeah.
And look, and they don't give you a warm-up shot.
No.
They're like, I was like, can I get a warm-up shot? And he was like, nope.
No, go.
And I was like, okay, fine. And
I tweaked my back.
And then I was standing there dribbling the ball, and I think he got impatient with me. He was like, anytime now.
So here's what you should have done. You should have, after you shot it and celebrated, fallen down and hurt yourself and then sued the king.
Yeah.
I'll settle. Season tickets for life.
Yeah. Yeah, Kafung La. She'll help you out.
It was cool because I felt like a celebrity for a minute because, you know, everybody that was in there saw it. And then we were on our way back to the car and a little Asian couple came up to me. I was like, were you the guy that hit the shot? I was like, yes. So
everybody loves a long shot.
Yes. He said for a minute.
Well, that is some big news. Jason, what's your big news for the week?
That Chris is having another baby? No.
Come on now.
No, so she was Chris was sick last weekend. She was in the hospital.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
She had sent a note out that we had a little chat group going.
Yeah.
And you guys were going to drop off a meal, which was a lovely gesture. And then she sends a note saying, I'm not feeling well. I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah.
in the hospital was not part of, that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of her doesn't want to freak people out.
Sure.
You know, because it's part of, the, you know, I guess, I mean, her invisible disability, like that she had, I mean, like her disease that she has, you know, due to her Crohn's. So, anyhow, so it's not like we haven't gone through the treatment and the process before.
Sure.
It just happened on, a level of where it was on over the weekend, and they have to do an MRI, and everybody that has a stroke on Friday night, you know, or a heart attack has to get an MRI, and they go through the emergency room, so they're more important. So it was just a long process.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And the whole time she's in pain. I'm at home with CJ, by myself. So it was, a dude and a little lady.
those were very bad times.
No, it was fine. You know, I mean, like, the thing is like, you put your head down, you get through it. And, like, all I could think about is that my wife was in the hospital. I know that she doesn't, like, and I spent a lot of time, in the hospital as a kid because of my asthma. Like, every year from the time I was like 8, 9 years old to the time I was 18, 17, I spent at least like a week in the hospital due to my asthma. Like, it was not uncommon.
You know, back in the day, they would have just let you die.
Yeah, I know. If I would have,
and here you are populating the earth.
I know, yes. With other diseased children.
Right?
No. CJ does not have any. But anyhow, so it was crazy. It was definitely like Chris is home now. Everything's good, fine. She's going to take off the requested amount of time. Like she's always given a suggestion of how much time she should take off.
Right.
But then she goes back to work like 2 days later, like, you know, a day later. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, so
she's tough.
She is. She's, I mean, like, I'm telling you, like, I married my complete opposite. high school GED drop, like high school dropout with a GED, some college, you know, her PhD.
Right.
I'm really funny. She's a scientist.
Not a funny scientist.
Those are very rare. Let alone she's a woman. So how could she be funny?
Well, sure. The entire cast of Lady Business is going to kick you right in the taint.
They know that I'm kidding.
The whole cast.
I go to their show more often than any other.
So you just show up early for anti-cooperation league.
Yeah, about that. But still, I mean, that's more than other people. You know,
sure.
I mean, like, that's I don't have to do that.
No, not at all.
I can just be like, I'm going to sit out here and hang out with the cool kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sit outside and smoke.
Yeah, which I can't because I have asthma. So I just inhale other people's smoke.
Oh yeah, that's just what you do.
Come on now.
All right. So let's get ready for a whiplash.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. So. Over the weekend, the Sacramento County District Attorney announced that there would be no charges filed against the officers that shot Stephon Clark. And the protests have been pretty quiet for the most part. When you think about protests, you think about blocking the street and breaking windows and all of this other stuff. There's this for the most part, the protests have been just protests.
Yeah.
On Monday night, at least 84 people were arrested in Sacramento during a protest that was organized in response to that announcement. Three reporters, including a longtime reporter at the Sacramento Bee, and several clergy members were among those detained. A photographer at the Bee said on a live stream that police knew his colleague was a member of the news media, but they detained him anyway. The Reverend Shane Harris, a minister from San Diego, was arrested for the first time in his life. He said it was pretty traumatizing, but at the same time, it's what black and brown men go through across the country every day. I honor Stephon Clark with it. Scores of protesters assembled in a Trader Joe's parking lot around 6:30 p.m. and started marching through East Sacramento, which, if you're not from here, is where the rich white folk live. They were chanting, "Whose streets, our streets," and then Protest organizers say they chose East Sacramento because it's one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in the city of Sacramento and home to many influential leaders in city and state government. A few hours later, police ordered the crowd to disperse. Until then, the demonstration had been mostly peaceful, though reporters on the ground described a handful of flare-ups, including one incident where an individual in a red MAGA hat, identified in reports as Dan Iverson, confronted protesters. Iverson told reporters that he decided to come to the protest wearing the hat because he wanted to see what would happen.
That was smart.
Sergeant Vance Chandler from the Sacramento PD said that they received reports from residents that protesters were keying cars during the march and began monitoring the group around 7:30 p.m. Chandler told reporters that officers gave 10 orders to disperse due to unlawful assembly. Protest organizers encouraged people to leave in response to the dispersal orders. The remaining protesters continued to march, but were ultimately contained by police, who arrested at least 84 people in total. In what appeared to be a veiled criticism of the police's action, Mayor Daryl Steinberg wrote on Twitter that he was, quote, very disappointed the protest ended the way it did. I have many questions about what precipitated the orders to disperse and the subsequent arrests. No matter the reason to order the or an order to disperse was given, no member of the press should be detained for doing their job.
They also arrested a white lady who was trying to get home.
Well, fight the power. I'm just saying, it's such a mess.
Well, and they did it in a very, like, they kettled them in, right? Like
yes, they did. But if they've given 10 orders to disperse and we're 2 hours down the line, at a certain point they made the decision, all right, we have to round these people up. How do we do that? And basically they put them on an overpass.
So one, the car keying, I need to see some evidence of that. Two, I need to know that that wasn't a cop.
That's a scurrilous accusation, sir.
But it's also ridiculous. That's all that happened.
Yeah,
windows were broken, right?
Yeah. So they said vandalism. So one was the suggestion that windows were broken. Somebody's car windows were broken out. That was a suggestion that was put out there.
And by the way, Jason, if someone went down your street and keyed your car, you would be rip shit.
No, not really, because I have insurance and I'm not worried about it. Really, I don't give a fuck. And not only that, like.
And again, I need to see some evidence that the car was keyed.
Sure.
And I need to know who did it, because I need to know that that person wasn't a police officer. Because during these protests, since the 60s, police officers have been involved. They have been placed in the groups as pretending to be protesters.
Sure.
And they have, in many cases, been the agitator who tried to get other people to do things that they didn't come there to do.
Yeah. And so, the other thing is, even if it was one of the protesters, if you have one or two people in a crowd that size who are not following what would be the rules.
So
do you then punish the entire group?
So one of the people that I know who's been a big part of the protest since we, so from, there were more people arrested last night than were arrested during all of the rest of the protest combined.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Easily.
So when they were in front of the Golden One Center,
mm-hmm, and blocking entrance,
people that were on the freeway.
Blocking the entrance to the freeway.
No, blocking the freeway.
Yeah, they were up on the freeway.
Up on the freeway, blocking City Hall, blocking the police department. And so you arrested more people last night than you did during any of that stuff. And all of that stuff looked more volatile than anything that happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is bullshit.
The thing is, it just happened. We're recording on Tuesday. Yeah. This just happened, and we may never know exactly what happened or how it all came down. The thing is, the more times something like this happens, the more intense the national spotlight will get on Sacramento.
Yeah.
It's easy to ignore an isolated incident. if something like this happens again and you get 80 people arrested, including journalists, which, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that was their big key upset point. And yeah. No, you shouldn't be arresting journalists
who
are covering an event, especially if they've got an identification saying, I'm a reporter for this news organization and I am covering this event.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's just, like I said, I need to see some evidence that the car was keyed, and I need to know that person was not an officer.
Yeah, it's getting crazy, yeah. the whole thing. And the whole, God, I watched part of the DA's press conference on Saturday, and I, you know, you go on social media, you see people's comments and everything that, we already knew that Stephon Clark was not a quote unquote perfect person.
Yeah.
He had whatever issues that he was dealing with. We found out some more on Saturday that we didn't know. Did we? And I don't know if we even needed to know them. I get why the DA chose to release that information. I don't necessarily agree that was necessary.
She did that for white people.
Well, there's a variety of reasons why.
No, she did that for white people. She did that the way Donald Trump does shit, is for her constituency. She didn't. That was what that was about.
Well, the other thing, Kareem, is the vast majority of the black community, anything short of the officers are going to be arrested and charged with murder, they're not going to be happy no matter what she does.
So that is true. But the thing is, if you were going to do that and that was going to come out like that, then do it in the court of law. And then that way you can say, okay, well, they were tried and then it didn't happen. I mean, then they were found, they were found innocent. The biggest complaint is that nothing ever happens.
Sure.
And so that is why. So, there were no innocent parties in what happened.
Right. And the first question after she made the announcement, what, and I don't know who asked it, was, how does this compare with, and I forget the gentleman's name, who was shot in broad daylight on Del Paso Boulevard?
Yeah.
And I apologize. I don't remember his name. And she said, I'm not going to compare any two cases, which is absolutely fair. But her points were, it was dark. This was going on. And the first question was, okay, but what about the guy that was shot in broad daylight?
Yeah. And if that was going to be her case, then that should have been her case. All of the shit that she brought in about him and whatever he had done before that didn't go to what he had done that night. So if you want to talk about that he might have, vandalized some cars, or you thought he was breaking into houses. If you want to, she had brought that up. That's cool.
Right.
Because that's actually a part of the record for what was going on and what led to the shooting. So that's okay. You would get no argument from me about her having that as part of the record, but to bring up all of the other stuff that she brought up, that was,
sure. And I know the reason she brought it up was to sort of go to, this is the state of mind of this individual over the previous 48 or 72 hours.
What did he say? What was in, I missed it. I didn't
there.
Yeah, I didn't listen.
And this is all part of what the DA put out.
Yeah.
There had been a domestic violence incident between him and, the mother of his kids. You'll see her on the news, his fiance. Yeah. And he had tried to call her, I believe, 72 times in a 24-hour period, and she did not take the call. He then started texting her a bunch of times, including that he was going to kill himself. Like, he took a picture of like 10 Xanax in his hand, saying, if we can't fix this, then I'm just going to take these. And wow. And she apparently gave him an unfavorable response to that. And so the idea behind that is, I'm sure, to be like, this was his state of mind. He was someone who was who was desperate. He was going through a very rough time. I mean, she said that multiple times. But, I mean, there's no, for lack of a better term, black or white. It just fucking sucks. And she references it. She goes, this goes back to common law before this was even a state. And there is now, there are now lawmakers pushing forth legislation that will change that so that we're not referring to a law from the old West. When you talk about a lawman having the authority to shoot someone.
Yeah.
So these are all things that have happened in other places, not that many, but it has happened where they're starting to go, no, you don't just go, no, I feared for my life. I get to do this. It's like, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? And that might not have made a difference in that moment, but that should make a difference so that this type of thing doesn't happen as frequently as it does. So it was kind of, I watched it on my phone and I was just like,
yeah. And again, because I had this conversation with somebody earlier, I'm not even debating the shooting itself.
Right.
Because, having been in the military, having family that had been in the military, and actually having a brother who was a cop, we've had conversations about stuff like this. So I understand. I don't see them, quote unquote, gunning him down the way most people see who are protesting. Right. That. I understand that there is that in that situation, somebody who's combat trained but has never been in combat, they reacted, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. They reacted.
Right.
And you don't know what the fuck you would have did in the situation. You don't know what they saw. My thinking is they saw what they see when they do training.
Mm-hmm.
That guy that pops up on the screen, they never even really saw him when they started shooting.
Well, and he was moving toward them.
Yeah.
With his hands out.
Yeah.
And it's dark in a backyard.
Right. So I'm upset that somebody was killed, but I'm not like, oh, these fucking cops did.
Sure.
So that's not where I am with that. The fact that she couldn't bring that into the narrative, like in a way where it would make it without making him the lone culprit in all of this.
Right.
And I understand that she can't do that because then she puts the city on the hook.
Absolutely.
But she didn't have to do the whole, what she did before she got to that point.
It was an interesting choice on her part to do it the way she did.
Yeah. And you know, I think had she done it differently, then the reaction to it would have been
maybe. But yeah. there was always going to be a large group of people that unless those officers were at the very least fired,
right? But they at least knew that. But those people going in knew that that was probably what was going to happen.
Sure.
And when they said that they were going to release all the information on the Saturday and it's raining outside, it's like, right. Okay, you know what the fuck, you already know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
But the fact that she spent the first half of it throwing dirt on his name before she got to that part.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, text me. He goes, are you worried about what's going down with all the protests? And I said, no, no, I'm going to be avoiding downtown.
Yeah,
I'm going to be avoiding this area when I know there's a protest, but a credit to, you know, say what you want about Sacramento. It gets a lot of shit thrown at it from around California and around the country. The number of protests that happen in the capital of California is astronomical. There's literally one almost every day. At the Capitol.
At the Capitol.
Of varying size. Right in the middle of Sacramento.
The most populous state.
right
in the country.
Right in the middle of downtown Sacramento. And I've lived here for almost a dozen years now. And I can count on one hand the number of times a protest has gotten out of hand. I believe it's only one at the Capitol. Yeah, there was the night they were marching through and blocking people from getting into Golden One Center.
Yeah.
But I don't believe anybody was in physical harm. And right. there are minor incidents here and there where someone had their windshield smashed. And my first question was, well, what did you do? Did you honk on the horn and yell the N-word? Because if that happened and then you got your windshield smashed, I think you had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, yeah. You had a lot to do with that. But
true story. Hashtag true story.
The city of Sacramento and the people of Sacramento are, for the most part, good people. And we don't have that, oh my God, it's going. You don't have that feeling that you have when you think, oh, there's going to be a big protest in like Oakland. And even in Oakland, you're more likely to get robbed as a news crew because they want to steal your camera than anything bad happening that way.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to something a little bit more light. How about that Michael Cohen testimony, huh?
Come on now.
Yeah, exactly. We've got, here are a few highlights if you miss it. We're not going to play a ton of them.
Back at this credibility, you want us to make sure that we think of you as a real philanthropic icon, that you're about justice, that you're the person that somebody would call at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, they wouldn't. Not at all. We saw Mr. Comer die.
Okay, this guy's an idiot because Donald Trump did call this guy multiple times to fix shit. And it wasn't because he was a virtuous icon. It was because he was the guy who went out and threatened people.
Yeah. He went to a very dark place.
All right, let me skip ahead here.
Cohen falsely understated the amount of debt he was carrying and omitted information from his personal financial statements to induce a bank to lend based on incomplete information, end quote. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You lied on financial documents. So you lied to financial institutions in order to secure loans. So we've established that you lie on your taxes, you lie to banks, and you have been convicted of lying to Congress. It seems to me that there's not much that you won't lie about when you stand to gain from it. In fact, the prosecutors for the Southern District of New York noted that each of your crimes, quote, bear common sense of characteristics, which each involving deception and being motivated by your personal greed and ambition. Is your appearance here today motivated by your desire to remain in the spotlight for your personal benefit?
No, ma'am.
You have sought out ways to rehabilitate your image from tax evader, bank swindler, and all-around liar to an honorable, truthful man by appearing before cable news. I'm concerned you could be using your story and this congressional platform for your personal benefit, such as a desire to make money from book deals. So can you commit under oath that you have not and will not pursue a book or movie deal based on your experiences working for the president?
No, and fuck you.
Right? So if you missed it, it was literally every Republican going, you're a liar, and him going, yeah, yep, I did that. It was like watching someone, he was definitely the beaten man.
Yeah.
And it's made very clear by Elijah Cummings when they started it, if he lied in front of Congress this time, it wasn't going to benefit him. He was going to spend more time in jail.
Yeah.
So, he's lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to go to jail.
3 years.
For 3 years. And you're telling him that he's not supposed to make money when he gets out of jail.
Yeah, and he's been disbarred.
Yeah.
So it's not like he can work as a lawyer. He's been disbarred. I'll skip further ahead.
He's going to become a Hollywood elite.
When you have access to 60-plus million people that follow you on social media, and you have the ability within which to spark some action by individuals that follow him. And from his own words, that he can walk down Fifth Avenue, shoot someone, and get away with it. It's never comfortable when the president of the United States...
What do you think he can do to you?
A lot. And it's not just him. It's those people that follow him in his rhetoric.
What is a lot?
I don't know. I don't walk with my wife if we go to a restaurant or we go somewhere. I don't walk with my children. I make them go before me because I have fear. And it's the same fear that I had before when he initially decided to drop that tweet in my cell phone. I receive some, and I'm sure you'll understand, I receive some tweets, I receive some Facebook Messenger, all sorts of social media attacks upon me, whether it's the private direct message that I've had to turn over to Secret Service because they are the most vile, disgusting statements that anyone can ever receive. And when it starts to affect your children, that's when it really affects you.
On January 20th.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It was a lot to deal with. My favorite part, and I'm not going to play it here. You can go find it, was because it was separated. There was a congressman who brought out the one African-American lady who works for Donald Trump and said, "You call them a racist. This young lady works for Donald Trump and has worked for Donald Trump." And we got almost to the end. Almost to the end when Representative Tlaib pointed out, very rightly so, that it's racist to go ahead and pull up your one black friend and say, "Oh, I can't be racist. I have a person of color working for me." And then he got really mad. Like yelling and screaming mad,
yeah,
about it. Is she calling me a racist? And Elijah Cummings was very chill about the whole thing. I mean, I think he was, you know, half in a coma, but because he, a representative, I like calling him Tim Meadows because that's wrong. Mark Meadows, he's from South Carolina, I believe, or maybe North Carolina. He's one of yours people, Kareem. He and Elijah Cummings are close. Now, my favorite thing was when he was defending himself, he goes, "I have nieces and nephews who are people of color. Not a lot of people know that." And my first reaction was, because you're ashamed of it and you don't want to let people know that you're related to them? Why don't a lot of people know that?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
But like, just like the tone deafness of like, this is really what it needs to happen to more white people so they realize, because, like, now it's making sure, like, this is the first step.
Well, and to, so.
It's like, right? Like, you have to realize that you're racist, right?
Because he stopped talking to him, that's why.
So, basically what ended up happening was there was a lot of yelling and harumphing, and she clarified, she goes, "No, I'm not calling you a racist. What I'm saying is, what you did by bringing her out is a racist act. That doesn't mean that you are a racist. You can commit a racist act without being a racist, and you might be doing it completely in your own mind innocently."
Yeah.
The next day, they apparently talked and actually hugged on the floor of Congress.
Yeah.
So they've apparently worked it out. So got all that. We also have this that will continue with the show.
Come on now.
Exactly. and this, which I think is going to be really useful to us going forward.
You know, I've sat here and I've listened to all of this.
What?
And it's very painful. It's very painful.
That's Elijah Cummings.
Uh-huh.
So get ready for that one, Jason. I'm looking forward to one of Jason's great stories.
You know, I've sat here and I've listened to all of this. And it's very painful. It's very painful.
Right.
Thanks.
Oh, don't you think I won't use it on me or Kareem?
Oh yeah.
You're very wrong about that. All right, I need to look over my shoulder. Oh yeah, we're running way late on this, so we'll skip all the Michael Jackson talk. Do either of you see Finding Neverland?
I'm not watching that shit.
That wasn't the question. So that would be no. Jason, did you see it?
No, I have not seen it.
Oh, okay. Kareem, why, just out of curiosity, why are you not watching that shit?
Because it's a bunch of bullshit. And the reason why I say it's a bunch of bullshit is because, one, those two guys testified in court.
Yeah, and they cover that in the documentary about what the reasoning was for that.
And the director said specifically that he wasn't going to include anything that didn't make his story. So all of the other children who spent time with him, who are now adults, who have said that not only did it not happen with them, but that they questioned other kids that were in the group of kids that spent time with them, and they said all of them said it never happened.
So let me ask you this question. Would you ever in your life, we'll take Michael Jackson out of this, let your 7-year-old child sleep over in bed with a grown man?
No.
It's weird.
Yes, it is.
The whole thing is really, really weird.
You get no argument with me for that.
And
about that.
And I watched all of it. I have not watched the Oprah sit down that aired after the end of it, because it was a 2-part thing on HBO. I was disgusted through the whole thing, that happened to these kids. It did not feel like it was something they were making up. It just didn't.
Of course it didn't. But like I said, they testified in court.
I understand that. And that is covered. When you're talking about people who've been subjected to trauma, and they talked about it, they were talking about at that point, they're like, Michael Jackson is my friend, because the way allegedly he set this all up is Michael Jackson is this, he's like another 7-year-old and we're doing 7-year-old stuff, except he was playing doctor with them. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay. So allegedly he did all that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a court case.
Yeah.
He was tried by a jury, I think, of mostly white people.
Yeah, and I saw some sound bites from them, and they are dumb white people.
Huh?
There was one lady who decided immediately she was going to vote not guilty because she didn't like the way one witness answered a question.
That's how the court system works.
Exactly.
But he was tried in a conservative county in Los Angeles. He was found not guilty. The FBI thoroughly investigated him, followed him, tapped his phones, all that shit for a number of years. And like I said, these two guys, they testified. Wade Robinson turned on him because he didn't get the job of choreographing the show about him after the fact.
Well, you know what? I guess we're going to have to let God and Satan sort it all out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like I said, and then you have the fact that the other kids who got the settlement, come out and say that their father put them up to saying all of the stuff that they said. That's not me making that up. That's the fact.
Yeah, it's all a mess.
And the guy didn't include any of that in the.
To be fair, R. Kelly has never been convicted of anything either yet. So
yeah, but I know he did that.
Okay.
So there's a tape of that.
All right. So let's move on from the Michael Jackson. Some sad news. Luke Perry passed away. He's 52. He never recovered from having a massive stroke. It's absolutely nuts. My mom had a massive stroke at 60. And one of the things that's going around now because of this is people are, for 5 minutes, going to be more aware of the symptoms of stroke, which is super important.
Yeah.
Because if you can get help immediately, you can be treated. When my mom had her stroke, she was not able to get help right away. She did not pass away from the stroke. She lived for another 6 years, but never recovered. And it's just really weird because for me, once she had the stroke, she was never the same person. She really wasn't.
Yeah. Once you have one, you tend to have many strokes after that, and different parts of your brain start to go because they never recover. Well, and you don't even know that they're happening.
Yeah. And that's why my dad doesn't have a driver's license anymore, because his doctor said, well, he had one in the hospital and he recovered from that. And his doctor said, well, you're having little micro strokes. And, you know, if you're sitting in your chair, it's not a big deal. But if you're driving down the road, it could be fatal for you and for other people. But my mom was in intensive care for a time and then in the hospital for a month or so. And then she spent a few months in rehab. She never was able to walk again on her own. She never was able to speak again. And it's just so goddamn insidious what it does.
Yeah. Two of my dads had it happen. The first one, he had it in Panama, and they gave him some medication that they didn't have here yet. And that helped him recover real quick. But then I think the medicine got here like 10 years later. And then my other dad, he had, I think he had 3 major strokes. And he ended up where he had a scooter, mm-hmm, that he would run you over with in the house. But then once he got to the point where he couldn't do that, then he was just like, he was done.
So I urge everybody to read up on the symptoms of stroke, to get curious about it, because it's one of those things that can literally hit anybody. And while there are warning signs, it's not the same as, you know, it's not necessarily, oh, you've been eating bad your whole life, you're liable to have a stroke. And that's not the way it works. There's a variety of things, and it's just really important that you're aware of them. So, maybe Luke Perry won't have passed away in vain if just a few people can end up getting treatment quickly and recovering from something like that. All right.
I have a memory of Luke Perry. It's like, because I remember him growing up as a kid watching 90210, right?
Sure.
I mean, like all of us, right? I remember when Fifth Element came out, and like I knew that Bruce Willis was in it. Mm-hmm. And I knew the director that was making it. So I was like really excited about it. I'm going and seeing it. And then like in the very opening scene, it's Luke Perry. And he's actually like these aliens. Anyhow, I don't remember like how excited I was, like, because he hadn't been in anything,
right,
for like year, like for years, like for 6 years or so. Like, and all of a sudden he was like in the beginning. And I was like, ah, it's Luke Perry. And then it's over. Like, he's only there for like a minute or two.
Right. He was in the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And the other movie he was in was a movie called 8 Seconds.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Which was a really good movie about a rodeo rider who, right, ended up getting killed at the age of 25. So.
But that was it.
Yeah. He's been in quite a few things. If you look at his IMDb, he's been in quite a few things, and he was in the new Riverdale show.
Oh, okay.
So he on TV now.
Yeah. He wasn't going to be in the 90210 reboot because of that Riverdale show.
Yeah. All right. So enough of this stuff. Let's clear our minds with this headline. Carly Rae Jepsen once watched Seal eat an entire loaf of bread. plane.
What?
She sat down with Zane Lowe on Beats One to promote her new singles, Now That I Found You and No Drug Like Me. But as you may have picked up from the headline, that's not what we're here for. We're here to discuss bread, specifically the loaf of gluten-free bread that Jepsen said she once witnessed Seal devour by the slice on a private jet. Jepsen explained that she was on the jet with Seal and Michael Bolton because they were booked to perform at some gala event, which further investigation suggests was the David Foster Foundation's 2016 Miracle Gala in Winnipeg. You met him. So here I was on a private jet with Seal and Michael Bolton.
I would just play the Lonely Island song with Michael Bolton.
Dear Penthouse Forum. <Yeah. laughs> I don't know what this never happens to me. Hold on a second. I gotta look something up here really quickly. I'm hearing my wife with the baby. You don't hear it on mic because I just heard good one. So my guess is that was a fart
Or an actual poo poo diaper.
It could have been a burp. Nah, normally it is a fart.
Ah, okay. Right.
It's a lot of farts going on.
Yeah, we used to do. I used to call them bicycle kicks, like and move CJ's legs back and forth to try to work out the farts.
Oh, okay. Quick question. When changing CJ's diaper, was there any sort of Jackie Chan style leg movement?
Oh, every time.
It's like, I'm like, good Lord, what is going on?
Yeah. Like her age right now, like changing her diaper right now is the worst.
Well,
it's the worst.
Maybe the potty training time has come. You have no control over that. Is what you're saying?
I mean, we're
trying. Your wife's made that decision.
We're trying.
Okay.
Like we're trying half hearted.
I'm not. Yeah, you don't want to give that diaper enough.
Well, the thing is like you don't. In one sense, because it becomes a lot more problematic if they have to go. But at the same time, on average, 3 is like the developmentally the most. Like right now we give her the option and we'll ask, but she doesn't know necessarily to tell us ahead of time.
Ah,
like
anyway, back to Carly Rae Jepsen. Said they were making travel less expensive. This was their thing. Fun fact, Seal ate an entire loaf of bread one slice at a time. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. The response was, who is this person? Oh my god. Says I was gluten free though, so that's good. And then she said, I shouldn't talk. I'm in television or radio. She also revealed that she secretly filmed Seal eating his loaf, pretending to text, and still has the footage on her cell phone. He opened the bread, removed a piece. He closed the bread. He ate the whole piece. Nothing on it. Then he did it over again. She did not clarify whether this private jet lacked peanut butter or butter or jam or whether Seal, for whatever reason, just liked dry bread. The interview is on spin.com if you want to listen to it. We don't have time for that nonsense right now. We have some big news of a world record.
Oh, yeah.
British naturists have set a world record for naked roller coaster riding.
Oh, come on.
As nearly 200 bare all and braved 50-degree temperatures at Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Get the fuck out of here. Guinness, go home. You're drunk.
Mm-hmm. It's the world record for the most naked people on a roller coaster. An impressive 195 naked people boarded the famous Grand National ride at Blackpool's Pleasure Beach on Saturday. Yeah. The previous record of 102 people was set in Southend in 2010. The event was organized by the UK's National Naturist Organization, British Naturism, and coincided with their annual weekend in Blackpool. Riders included members of British Naturism and members of the public who signed up for the thrill. You know, I think they should just blur everybody, not just the lady boobs.
Yeah, I'm surprised there are some, though.
There's always a few ladies at the Naturist convention. Yeah. What's funny is in the front of the roller coaster, they've got, like, headlights that line up with the two dudes' dongs.
Oh, yeah.
It's just me. Oh, it's an
some boobies got out. Some boobies got out. Like, they let some boobies out.
Yep. Well, it is the Daily Mail. It is the Daily Mail. So, we get to see what boobies look like in that little moment of zero gravity on a roller coaster. Jason is amused.
It's because I got hit in the face the other day because I was like, you're just going to let your boobs flop around. And I thought it was funny because, like, you know, you just say flop, but, like, it definitely has a different context when you talk with women than, like very negative. And I wasn't thinking of that when I said it. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, bounce. They bounced.
Well, the front.
Because her thought was, motherfucker, if you hadn't got me knocked up, they would still be bouncing.
Twice. I like in this shot of the roller coaster. So it's the second row where the lady has her hands up and you can see them bounce. In the front row, the two women are literally holding their titties down with their arms.
Yeah. They're like, we know.
Yeah, they absolutely do.
That was freaking crazy.
Yeah, it's true. There's a bunch of butt cheeks.
There's a bunch of ass.
You're welcome. 195.
Look at all the ass.
Here's a great picture, and take a look. I don't know if you can see the mouse on the TV screen there, guys, but the one on the left, about in the middle of the photo, there is a dude who looks like he's about 30, and this poor son of a bitch is stuck in the roller coaster car with the 70 something year old dude.
Yeah. Who's like leaning into him.
It's not, it doesn't look like either one of, well, the old guy looks like he's having fun.
Yeah.
The other guy, not so much.
Where's your hand?
You're right.
Because you can't see that guy. Like, everybody else is definitely separated, but you can't see the old guy's arm.
No. Nope.
Like, you can see everybody else's separation.
It looks like it's behind the other guy.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> That's why that guy's looking.
That's
like,
why he's got that face.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. So if you're in Blackpool, there you go. All right. Sorry. Just a bit of an aside. A bit of an aside, if you will. Before we get to the end of the show, I want to remind everybody that if you need to do your Amazon shopping, please go through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show and doesn't cost you anything extra. So thank you for doing that. Also, we have a Shop Target tab now at the top of NateDarlingShow.com as well. Same thing. You can order your stuff online, pick it up in store, and they're starting to have specials where you get percentages off by doing that. So, and the special parking spots now where you...
I've seen those.
Yeah, they've got them marked off. So you go online, go, I need this from Target. You go, you pull up, and boom, it's done. It is done. And as someone who brought a baby to a furniture store, sometimes maybe that's what you want. Maybe you don't want to unload everything and go into Target. Or maybe you don't want to spend that extra $100 that you're going to spend buying nonsense. Because, ooh, look at that. It's on sale.
Ooh.
I've never seen a t-shirt with that clever saying on it. I must have it.
I must.
I've noticed that they've tamed down their shirt section at Target, at least at the one on 65th.
Oh, yeah. The one near Sac State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've tamed it down. Which kind of sad. It's sad because, like, that's the one I go to. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of food, though.
a lot of cheap food. So that's that.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. The people of Plattsburgh, New York have not let us down. They are back and complaining to speak out.
Thank God.
And I think that's important.
It is.
Agenda. Every leader has their own agenda. Obama and Dems forced health care down our throats. Cuomo forced gun control that only criminalized honest citizens, now wants to legalize pot, making our homes, streets, and parks dangerous from those high and stealing to perpetuate their habits. Now the president has a legitimate concern for American border security. Media and the Dem leaders blockade at the expense of federal workers. When asked to negotiate, they refuse flatly. Does that sound like someone who should be in power? Replace them for the good of the country. It seems like they might have reprinted that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to skip the next one about grandparents. Because I think that's one that was from a month ago. As I'm coming from Lowe's past Price Chopper, there are three cars parked along in front of the store where it's posted no parking anytime. People, no parking means no parking. Do your scratch-offs in a parking spot. Jason?
What an asshole!
Who, for the people who are scratching off in the...
They're doing a scratch-off.
Come on. They'll be gone soon.
Hey, why don't businesses enforce the posted rule that you posted that all loads going to landfill will be covered? That would help garbage falling on our roads. That sentence makes no sense and is exactly what was written. Just saying. All of those things. I'll put it on the big screen for you guys.
Yeah,
so
no, it's
so
like
you can follow along.
Why don't businesses enforce the posted rule you posted that all loads going into landfill will be covered? That would help garbage falling on our roads.
Right? It makes perfect sense.
Not.
It makes perfect sense. Come on.
No, listen. Okay, let me try it in a different way. I'll try enhancing a couple of words and
sure.
See if it helps.
All Let's
right?
do it.
All right. Why don't businesses enforce the posted rule you posted that all loads going into the landfill will be covered? That would help garbage falling on our roads.
What I'm getting from this is cover your loads.
Cover your... That's a condom.
So now it's time to punish all Republicans. Longtime Senator Little, who has done amazing work for us, will be punished just because. Vindictiveness will cause all of us to suffer due to vengeance.
I think y'all started it.
A day to remember. It's 7 a.m. and I'm out for my daily stroll. It's an amazing morning with the songbirds chirping. Not a breeze to be found, but most of all, no vehicles on the streets. Yes, the emergency flashing lights were on last evening, and all the autos found a place to park. They do every time the lights are on. Why wouldn't the city consider off-street parking from the middle of November through the middle of, April? Well, asshole, let me clarify that. When they have to plow, they turn on the emergency lights, say you can't park your car on the street. So some people take it to a paid lot or wherever. This asshole wants to ban street parking from the 1st of November until the 1st of May for snow removal. To which I say, fuck you.
Well, there's not always snow.
Exactly! Oh. I got a ticket for snow removal in college. It was 65 degrees the day I got the ticket. And I appealed it to the board of my fellow students, and those ass-kissing little motherfuckers said, no, it's posted, it's snow removal, see, your appeal is denied. Fuck you, you little ass clowns.
Yeah, who's laughing now, bitches?
Common sense little fuck nuggets.
Assholes.
I hate them all.
Dicklesses.
Yep.
Pussylesses.
Hey, to the speak out about the president in Russia, how about Obama telling Putin to wait until after the election so he could get away with more? How about Clinton selling our uranium to Russia? How about sending pallets of cash to our enemies in the Middle East? Your voice is muted by your blind lemming-like following of the likes of Pelosi and Schumer, with the destruction of our country as a result. Somebody watches a lot of Fox News.
And InfoWars.
Sure.
There's some sprinkling in it.
It's a lot of old people that live in Plattsburgh, I'm just saying. I drive past the city fire station on South Platte Street daily. There's no sign or indication that this is a fire station. In the recent past, a small metal sign appeared. It didn't clearly indicate that a paid fire department occupies the building. Is this part of budget cutting? Is there a state law mandating a large, clear sign? Fuck you! You know it's a goddamn fire station. If there's a fire, you know what'll happen? Trucks will come out with sirens and lights, and everybody will go, shit, it's a fire truck. I better get out of the way. What are you talking about?
I think they just want a sign outside.
I want a big fucking sign saying there's a fire station. Why? Do you think it's going to keep the fires away? The roving band of fires? There's a goddamn roving band of fires pillaging about Plattsburgh that would be stopped if only they knew there was a sign saying there was a fire department there.
Just saying.
I used to live. I lived around the corner from this, so I know exactly what it is.
All the fire stations in California are really clearly marked. I don't know, they all say fire. They all say like number 7 or like fire station or fire.
It is clearly marked.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. This asshole even knows it's a fire station.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, it sounds like it does not look like a fire station at all.
I drive past the city fire station daily. How do you know it's a fire station, then? Maybe it looks like a fire station. They have fire trucks there and a sign that says City of Plattsburgh Fire Department.
Fire, fire.
So what is he asking for, then?
He wants a big fucking sign to prevent the rogue bands of fire from coming through.
But I mean, like, he makes it sound like there's not a sign. Like, there's no labeling on the building. Like, I imagine, because this is the way I imagine every building, like, there's a big block building that's concrete that has garages on it. Like, I'm not imagining.
It's not big. It may have 2 bays, I think.
But if it has a sign out that says City of Fire Department, City of Plattsburgh, or something like that, then like that's all it needs. Get the fuck out of here, bro. All
right, I'm going to call this up on Google Maps here.
Oh,
really,
thank you.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get this up. That's what she said.
And never to me.
All right, I got to disconnect this one page here.
All right, and then connect the next page.
Stop casting that one. All right, so let me throw that up there. See if it lets me put it up. If you defend this son of a bitch, Jason, I swear to God, I will come over there and I will.
Come on now.
Exactly. There it is. There it is. It's got an American flag out front. You know what else they have there? Fire trucks.
Not out of this. The fact that there's a flag out in front of the place, I mean, makes you think that it could be a fire station. The only thing that I would say.
By the way, this is from 2012. That's the last time Google deemed it necessary to drive through Plattsburgh.
I will say that one thing I would say, like, it could use at least a sign that says City of Plattsburgh Fire Department.
Oh, would you like a big sign? It's across from the abandoned E.W. Tompkins Company. Do you think anybody in town doesn't know what that is?
Right, yeah.
I'm just saying. It's the fucking people, I swear to God.
Those sidewalks look horrible.
They are. They are. Oh, by the way, we'll get to sidewalks. Oh, so, I'll show you guys this really quick. So, you see this house right here? This is really great for the podcast.
Is this where you grew up?
No, this was an apartment that I rented in Plattsburgh. You had to go up the stairs here, and this was the front porch, and then up to this apartment. And then I moved across the street, and I lived in this apartment upstairs across the street.
Wow.
By the way, don't ever move across the street. It's all of the work of moving across town and none of the reward, because you don't get that truck ride in the middle to rest.
Right. Or that.
And I did it in January when there were snowbanks on each side.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun, bro.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I drive past South Catherine over the Saranac Bridge several times a day. After the weekend snowstorm, the sidewalks weren't cleared until well past 24 hours after the snow event was over. If the city has laws, which in my observation are barely enforced, then it needs to set an example and clear the sidewalk to keep pedestrians off the heavily traveled road. The sidewalk was then salted with way more salt than needed, and it runs directly into the nearby river. Please cut way down on the salt used. Dear Speak Out, I'd like to bitch about everything.
And tell you that you need to solve it, but then tell you that you're shitty about how you solved it.
Hey, thanks to the 2 city workers who were driving by and saw my car stuck in the driveway. I was running late for a doctor appointment and in a panic when they stopped. I so appreciate them showing up and helping get me out. 2 of the many fine city workers we're lucky to have. Oh. See? They're not all assholes in Plattsburgh.
The way they talk about city workers usually makes it sound like they're assholes.
Yeah. Oh, here's someone. I'm ashamed to say I'm a Democrat. Late-term abortions, refusing to secure our borders, and moving so far to the left it's unacceptable to the average person. Pelosi and Schumer are letting the extreme liberals take over the party. Unless change is made, Trump will be reelected. All the Democratic candidates are so far extremist. Hopefully a person that is somewhere in the center will emerge. I got a center for you. It's the center of my asshole. I want you to go ahead and kiss it. I'm getting saucy.
If Stacey Abrams throws her hat in the ring, I might quit my job and go work for her.
Okay. There you go. There's a lot more here. You know, we're going to wrap this up. I've had enough. I'm angry. I've done enough damage for one show. We're going to wrap this whole thing up. We'll see you on Friday, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Good time.